What's up, folks? Welcome to another episode of the Junior NBA Coach's Corner podcast. Got a great guest for you today, Ann Crosby, who is the Vice President of Basketball Operations and Strength and Conditioning with the Chicago Sky. That is the WNBA reigning champs. Interesting role she plays, obviously, in the operations side, but strength and conditioning. She's kind of bridging the world off the court, on the court. She's got great perspective on the league and this team. Great conversation. Sit back and enjoy.
Welcome to the Junior NBA Coach's Corner with your host, Dallin Cuff.
All right, now we bring in Ann. So much, so great to have you here. So excited to have this conversation. Let's just start this. Last night was WNBA draft. Ryan Howard goes first overall. That was exciting. Through three rounds, though, Chicago Sky didn't have any picks. So just take us into the inside. What was your night like as you're watching? You were watching this. You weren't there. You're watching on TV. Take us inside. What was it like for you and your organization?
It was actually a pretty calm night, which was, good on my end of things, not having to rush to get, players' jerseys and, figure out how to get them in town in time for physicals and be cleared by Sunday for our first day of training camp. So it was pretty calm. It was, interesting. We still got together as a group and, had phones available in case there was someone who wanted a trade or something along that line, but pretty uneventful for us.
Did the phone ring though? Was anybody inquiring minds reaching out to the defending champs?
Never know.
okay. Take us inside the draft when you do have a pick. What is that experience like? What is that stress like on the organization as you're trying to at times make picks that hopefully are going to make massive impacts on your program?
So it's a good stress, actually. There's a lot of buzz and hype, and there was some yesterday as well. Don't get me wrong. We love to see new athletes coming into the league to make the league as strong as possible. That's going to help all of us in general, not just the Chicago Sky. So, there is a buzz and a hype, and it's fun to see if there's going to be any upsets or things that people predict if they're going to be wrong and that. But normally we have our list, and as players either get ticked off or what it is, we just keep going down the list and call in and make your pick, and pretty cut and dry, actually.
What did you think of this draft class coming in, just from a broad standpoint? Were there any players in particular that you think are going to have potentially breakout years? Granted, all for your competitors now, at least in the immediate sense. What do you think of that?
My most favorite thing is assessing players' athleticism in general. That's one of the things I get to do for the team. And there are some great athletes that are coming into this league, so it's going to make the game a lot of fun. I love having a competitive edge. We do as a staff and as a team. That again, it fuels our fire, knowing that there's great athletes that are coming in. And so that makes it, fun, just keeping it competitive. And
you just touched on strength and conditioning, as we mentioned in the open, is one of the areas of expertise, one of your purviews within the Chicago Sky. What happens, in the off season here? What has been your focus with this team coming off a championship run with them in the off season? How much access do you have to kind of shape what's happening physically? I know some of the women are playing in different leagues. So how does that all come together for you in your role?
The biggest thing is just communication, making sure that if they get hurt overseas or if they have any chronic itises, their knees flare up or, they have turf toe that's just chronic, something along that line, making sure that we keep it at bay, keeping in touch with physios from all the different European teams is also extremely important. But the biggest thing is just, communicating with your players on a weekly, bi-weekly, little platform that we have and addressing every situation that we can.
I think strength and conditioning technology and strength and conditioning, if nothing has changed more since I stopped playing in 2006, as I'm dating myself. But like back then it was like, you could rub some Tussin on it still. Like it wasn't that long ago, but it was a different, we're not going to give you water as a punishment, a very different approach.
Yes.
So as things have changed, and you just talked about dealing with the European physios, are there different perspectives continent to continent in terms of different practices? How do you approach that?
Yes. It's funny. We rely heavily on our medical staff at the University of Chicago. And first of all, they're top notch. They're in with the latest and the greatest. And so I feel very fortunate with that. You know, it is extremely different when you have, you know, especially a language barrier and you have injuries that are going on or itises and you're trying to convey, hey, what are they taking supplement wise? Cause the player will be like, well, they give me these pills. And you're like, we need a little more information than, you know, the fact that they're white, you know, or blue or pink or, you know, and so, it gets tough when you, you know, have to figure all that in. Like, for example, this year we had a player who sent us an MRI report from overseas, and it was in a different language. And we actually had to pay a service to translate it for us so that we could get the answers as quick as possible, because every day matters, you know, especially in these players' careers and whatnot, and also getting information to coach and making sure he has the best foot forward when we're talking about, you know, the roster and free agency and all that kind of fun stuff. So, you know, every little thing matters. And so it's tough. It's tough.
In the strength and conditioning world, what have you seen been the biggest change, maybe the last 5 years, 10 years, whether that be the technology, whether it be players' acceptance or openness or desire for the kind of change? Like, what have you seen change in that world?
Something that's really fun for me. You know, I like to educate players. I like them to know why they're doing things, whether they care to hear it or not. I spew it out. And it's kind of funny because, lately, you know, there has been a big interest into kind of how do I make myself, you know, be able to play for 10, 15 years instead of just what do I need to do to get by? And that's been a huge change. And I absolutely love every second of it, down from, you know, tracking sleep patterns and that kind of stuff. Cause we know that all is, you know, part of the recovery process and makes for a healthy person in general, down to nutrition and supplements and knowing that not every single thing fits every single person. So there's no cookie cutter rhyme or reason to your scheme and to being a player for 10 to 15 years. So that's been kind of fun to have players really open up their eyes and embrace it.
Another one of your roles as a basketball operations, the VP of operations there, as we said before, I want to touch on that as you prepare for this campaign. But before we get to this year, I do want to touch on last year. Obviously, you guys won a world championship. What stands out most from last year's season?
Oh, gosh. You know, when you're behind the scenes in all reality, I feel like I missed a lot of things as they were going on. And it wasn't until I saw pictures or videos, you know, 2 to 3 weeks post the parade, even, because I'm still trying to get players out of market, trying to make sure we're wrapping up shop, you know, cleaning house, moving out of Wintrust, you know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, it took a while for me to look at pictures and I was like, oh my gosh, we did it. We persevered and got through some, you know, tough times and tough years, and we really didn't.
If you could explain to people that are listening, obviously our audience is a lot of coaches, trainers, people all around the game in different roles, behind the scenes, to your point, on the floor, all in between, but a lot of people may not understand or appreciate your role and what your group does. Can you encapsulate what you're doing in terms of operations to allow them to go on the floor and succeed?
There's just a lot that entails, you know, the operations aspect, and I don't need everybody, at least in our organization, I don't need everybody to know, you know, that I was pulling in a car into, you know, the tunnel, in the arena because there was, you know, annoying fans out there and we had, you know, things to get to and whatnot. You know, I don't really need people to know that, but there are, a lot of things that happen, you know, behind the stage that, really help, you know, put a good product on the floor, you know, and that's just, you know, down from making sure that everybody who's rostered has the right gear and the right shoes at the right time. And that Coach Wade knows everything that's going on, individually, like, hey, we're, you know, our athletic trainers have put a, you know, minute, you know, clause on the player for the game and reminding him, hey, they're at 7 minutes. Hey, they're at 9 minutes. Hey, there's a timeout coming up. Hey, it's our timeout. You know, just even down to that and, or knowing who drinks what on behind the bench. And, you know, cause if you mess with a person's kind of, I call it juju. If you mess with their, you know, what they're expecting, it could throw things off and, you know, you just don't want to do that. So try to leave, you know, every I dotted and T's crossed along the way. Having, you know, spare shoes. We had a player blow out a shoe on a court one time and all we had to do was come back and get a new pair of shoes. Just, you know, having all that stuff kind of at our fingertips and just, again, preparing for the worst and praying for the best.
Yeah. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit of story time I want to ask you about. Whether assistant coaches or people in operations, I've definitely talked to enough players and people in different levels of the game at times just like, I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe this is what I'm doing right now. Is there a story, is there a moment you're like, I can't believe I'm have to do this right now, but you had to do X because it just, somebody's got to get it done.
Yeah. I think one of the funniest things is, you know, game four and, you know, if we don't win game four, we're taking a charter flight to Phoenix for game five. And it was set to depart an hour and a half post game. So I'm at 2 minutes left on the clock, you know, and, you know, we hit a big shot and whatnot. And I'm on the phone with the pilots, you know, getting ready. What's, you know, and making sure they're on the runway, getting ready for us because we're going to be hobnobbing to get up there just due to scheduling and airtime and all that kind of stuff. We had a really short window to make that turnaround. And then, you know, a minute left. I get a phone call from one of them. Well, you just saw the game. Like, what's going on? I'm like, just watch the game. I'll call you back. You know? so it's kind of funny that that's the kind of stuff that happens, you know, same thing, in 2019, when we were in Las Vegas, literally down to the last minute. I mean, seriously, there were 7 seconds left on the clock when I was on the phone trying to figure out flights and some of that kind of stuff to make sure that the logistics happen, you know, that we don't miss a flight. I mean, when you have 20 people sitting around in an airport, that's just not a ton of fun. So, you know, just making sure those I's and T's are dotted and crossed as well. So pretty funny, though.
Yeah, but yeah. It is. I mean, yeah. Can I enjoy this for a minute? Give me a minute. It's also funny too, because like if the things go wrong, there's 25 people in an airport complaining, and it's not like somebody wasn't trying to do it right. It just doesn't always work out the way you want. I've unfortunately been one of those people complaining, I'm sure. Let's look forward to this year. Let's get back to kind of the interim in between this championship and this year. How have things gone in terms of preparations? Does it feel any different? Is it any different now given what was accomplished last year as you try to reset to essentially do the same thing this year?
Yeah. It does feel different. You know, it's kind of funny because when you don't know what you don't know, right? So when you haven't won a championship, you don't know what that feels like. You don't know how to have that swag. You don't know what to expect and whatnot. And this year we know what to expect and we can walk around with our heads up high. And not that we've always, you know, we've never like ducked or anything like that, but, you know, just having that different aura, like, okay, we know what it takes to win now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is our formula. This is what this is going to look like. Let's go. And it's fun to be around. There's a lot of hype. We've done a lot of things in the off season, some that were planned regardless of the championship or not. You know, we resurfaced our practice court, which is now being named the Sky Court on Friday. Officially will be the ribbon cutting ceremony. We've changed the complete dynamics of what the gym looks like. I mean, you walk in and you're just like, oh, it's like, you know, my gosh, no longer does it have Bulls stuff and red everywhere. Now it's, you know, it's cool and it's trendy, down to, built a weight room right off the nice. Court is amazing. Something I've been dreaming of for the past 16 years. You know, revamping our training room, just lots of positive things going on. And again, some of them were already pre-planned prior to winning. And some of them are brought due just to winning and people wanting to be associated and affiliated with us, which is great.
Awesome. In terms of that, like you've been there since 06, part of this organization, and to get a championship, now we know what that's like. How is you said how you guys are walking around, you know, the model, it feels different internally. Does it feel different externally? Or are you feeling it different in the city of Chicago?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I no longer, if I say, you know, I work for the Chicago Sky, I no longer have to explain what the Chicago Sky is. That mm-hmm. That's the number one thing I noticed the most. Yeah. I'm not sitting there having, well, we play pro basketball, you know, we're the opposite of the Bulls, we're female, and we play in the summer, and I don't have to do any of that, which is amazing. I mean, the other day I was sitting up, I was with someone on ComEd, and he was like, oh, I went to a game through my church, you know, and it was like, what? You know, and again, having to explain, it was great. And I really,
that's awesome.
That. Yeah.
It's good. And then great town, a great summer, the best summer city in the country too. Just a phenomenal place.
Hands down.
Let's look forward to this year as you guys get to prepare here. Take us through the schedule. I know you said things are starting soon. You got to get the ladies in, start getting things going. Kind of give us where you're, the status of where you're at now leading up to May 6th. You guys are one of the teams opening the season. I believe you play LA that day on May 6th. So give us where you're at right now.
So I think one of the big things is that we, you know, getting players into the market, whether it's from their, you know, Euro teams and whatnot, making sure we have enough players here to practice. You know, when you have four or five of your vets still going to be over in Europe, you know, you need to bring in other players and get a good practice flow going for those that are vets that are here on time, which this is, it's kind of funny. I was talking with Courtney Vandersloot, and this is the first camp besides her rookie season, which, you know, I was with the team for obviously, first time she has been here for a preseason like this. So it's kind of fun, you know, it brings me back to the, you know, her rookie season. So I'm sure I'll have lots of jokes and puns around some of that as well. So, you know, just getting the players in, making sure that, you know, we've completed all of their physical, you know, paperwork and whatnot is returned to the league so that everybody's cleared in time for Sunday, which is good.
Yeah, it's huge. The league goes back to a 36 game league schedule this year. There'll be some scheduling, like serious scheduling, if you will, to kind of make the travel less onerous. How does it affect you from an operations standpoint, but how do you think that'll affect the product from a strength and conditioning standpoint as well?
You know, I personally love it for a lot of reasons. Anytime there's a commercial flight involved, there's delays, there's, you know, this, that, and the other missing. Mm-hmm. You know, so it just staying in one city for two games is glorious because that's two less flights that we have to, you know, think about. As far as the strength and conditioning goes, it again, same thing. It's glorious because we can get a good workout in and not have to worry about getting up and catching the 6 a.m. flight to get to the next city so that you're there and then trying to work out from that point, you know, and that is something that, you know, is tough, right? When you're on the grind and whatnot. So, I don't enjoy that piece. But being in the same city for two games or a series of whatnot is great planning. Allows players to get better sleep, work on their recovery. You know, it just makes sense.
Yeah, no doubt. You're going to run back the Commissioner's Cup, which will return for its second season. Personally, I love this, and not to always make it analogous to other women's sports, but the NWSL does the same thing with the Challenge Cup now, and that started with the pandemic. Like, a good thing to come out of that. I'm a huge European soccer guy. This is what they do. You have in-season other competitions. What do you think this competition brings to the league, and why should people like be excited about it?
You know, it's a competition within the competition, right? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny because there are, you know, certain games that are, you know, deemed a Commissioner Cup game and not. The biggest thing is, I won't lie, for the players, it's reward money. Like, they get another chance to make some more money. And I think that within itself kind of, you know, speaks for itself. You know, it's just is very important that, you know, that we're still trying to trudge forward. But for me, I love the inner competition. Oh, we're playing that. It's Commissioner's Cup game. Like, check, you know, we've got their series, you know, where we've won two against them, you know, on the third game, you know, just that kind of fun stuff. I love that. So, yeah, internally. Yeah. I love that. So, yeah.
Why do you think that it is, whether it's it's smaller leagues. It's women's leagues versus the big four on the men's side of things. When I'm talking about the NBA, let's be very honest, because I'm over here being like, I would love to see the NBA institute something like this, like a cup competition or a tournament style competition within their league season to engage fans of teams that may be falling behind. There's things they could do. Why are some of the other leagues less willing to be a little creative? Why are some of the other leagues willing to step outside the box?
You don't know what you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. So, sometimes it's hard to follow through on an idea that you don't know, don't have any information on, or you're creating from a hole. And when you're in that broad of think about it, the NBA, like,
it's huge.
It's hard to be like, let's try this as a guinea pig, you know? Mm-hmm. TV, it could make TV unhappy. It can make sponsors unhappy. And when you are tossing around that much money, I could see where that would be maybe a deterrent. You know, the other thing is, you know, do you view it as taking away from the main championship? I do not. I actually, again, mm-hmm. I love the competition within the competition. And it might be like, even just before the Commissioner's Cup, I'd be like, oh, we played them 3 times this season. We must beat them at least twice. You know, and just that, and I think that it helps, you know, us. And again, it provides more money for our players. And I think it's better viewership. But I think that in the grand scheme of things, it may or may not work out for everybody. So mm-hmm.
it works. Well, I'm just lobbying. I know Adam Silver's mentioned it before. He looks to Europe for some different ideas in soccer. I think this could be something really cool. I hope the NBA, and I mean, I think fits best the NBA model. And I hope they do it at some point in time. I think it'd be great for all the fans and everybody watching, just like the WNBA has done. As you look forward to this season, what's the biggest challenge in terms of trying to, I mean, to climb that mountain again is really hard. What's the biggest challenge?
You know, this year things are completely different. So we have World Games right at the end of season. Mm-hmm. Our season is actually just, I have some stats down here that I wanted to throw out there. So in 2021 regular season, we had 32 games and 95 days, we had 31 days for Olympic break. In which we still practice. We just didn't have any games or competition. And so it was 126 total. So if 2021, there was 126 days. This year, regular season is 101 days and we have 36 games. So if you think about that piece, we're hopping, right? We're hopping. Yeah. So things that, you know, we have to kind of look into are, you know, our recovery methods. Like, we're going to have to think outside the box. Every team is going to have to, there's going to be back-to-backs. There's going to be with this, you know, with the shortened, season per se, and adding the more games, you know, we have to plan better. So, and we're ready. We're ready.
Okay. Will we see load management rests go up here this year, you think?
Yes. The buzzword for 2022 is management. And as a strength coach, that's something actually we've always done. And it's kind of funny because, you know, James was asking what the difference in load management versus what we've done before. And I said, well, I think that now that you can actually add a technology piece where, you know, back in the day, so I started back in the 90s when I was 10 years old. I started at 10 as a strength coach in the 90s. Wow. You know, everything was done basically by paper. There wasn't very many apps and things like that. I mean, the internet was not what it is today, where, you know, today there's technology, I can enter in information and it can give me a number. You know, a big part of load management though is actually being physically with the team, keeping your eyes on them, keeping your ears open to what they're saying, what they're hearing, keeping track of what we planned to happen in practice, what really happened in practice, and what's going to really, you know, how that's going to affect things going on. Those are, you know, intangibles that you can't replace with an app. But for the most part, you know, it just is, you know, the fun electronic stuff that we can get to, you know, finagle with and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Is a lot of fun, but yes, load management is very crucial on years like this where we're kind of condensed and we're adding more games.
And you're condensed because you said the World Games. There's other competitions in August and September. Give us why the season is being rolled out this way.
So essentially, just allowing a lot of the players in the league are on various national teams. and to get them back in time to compete with their national team. The league obliges our season schedule to aid in that. And so that's why, it's shortened by a few days.
Gotcha. Kind of want to finish on some big picture things. Commissioner Engelbert helped bring in $75 million of investment into the WNBA in this offseason. That's a huge deal. I see your face lighting up. Mm-hmm. So just tell us what you think this will mean for the league going forward.
Not only will it open up a lot of other opportunities for these women, but I think that it will also see that we're worth it, right? We're worth the investment. And it just takes one to bring in others. And I think that I can't say enough on how I just think that women's sports in general are just a hot commodity right now. I wish it would have been, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, but I'll take it, as long as we're promoting, the game and women's sports in general. I think that it's just going to show people and, investors and whatnot that the sky's the limit.
I do think it's funny that people that just don't get it are like, they think it's some sort of like altruism by the companies. They're in it to make money. Like this is a huge market with a huge upside monetarily. It's not just because it's the right thing to do. And I think people like miss that somehow.
Correct. I mean, right. If it doesn't make sense in a business model, then it doesn't make sense. Our league does make sense. Mm-hmm. It just, again, took the right people, the right getting in front of the right audiences and making sure that they're being educated on how great these women are, how great the league is and how the game is growing within itself as well. So, it just is amazing.
Yeah. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. As we said many, many times. Last thing, as you kind of look forward to the WNBA, what are some of the things you do want to see? What either needs to change or what growth needs to happen in, 3 to 5 years for the league to continue to move in the direction it is?
The CBA, when the players, redid the CBA and they're getting paid more. I would like to obviously see that keep climbing. I think that that's a huge piece that will help keep players here in market. Therefore, I feel like that will cut down on a lot of our overuse injuries. It'll eventually make our game stronger, faster, and better. If we can not have a player playing year round, that's an emotional and mental grind as well, not just physical. Having to go into a country where those language barriers and trying to figure out how do you eat your type of diet over in a country that doesn't know anything about it or whatnot. Just little things like that. I think I would love to see kind of that go. Of course, obviously, as an operations person, I would love to not fly commercially, but I do. It is what it is, and we've got a great system here in Chicago. We've got a great partner, with United Airlines, and we're very fortunate with our home airport here at O'Hare. They accommodate us. They're great as far as security and all that kind of stuff goes. We're pretty lucky, but it would be nice. It would save me about 2 hours on each end of a flight. If we did have something along that line. We'll see where it goes.
I hope it gets there as soon as possible. Last thing we'll touch on is Coach James Wade, obviously the coach of the Sky, has taken part in this. So I would love just give me your thoughts on what Coach Wade has brought to the organization outside of a championship, but just that inclusive. What does he bring kind of on a day-to-day and on a macro level?
There's so many things I could list about James that I love. I really feel like we are a family. We've had that, but it's a different feeling with this group of women and our staff that are in it. It feels different. I don't know exactly what that is, but it feels different. James is a great coach. I feel like his door is always open for any players, for any staff, to talk, and kind of work things out. He is not he's not stifling. He doesn't micromanage on our end of things, which is great. We give him information for him to make his, you know, best decisions, you know, and he makes great decisions. Clearly, if you check out our roster, some really great decisions. But even just down into, you know, game and play calling, his brain is, his basketball brain is top notch. You know, his passion and his attitude towards the game, the women's game specifically, is infectious. People want to be around him because of the energy that he brings around basketball and our players and our organization as a whole. It's just, it's so fun to be around. So,
yeah. That's awesome. Thank you so much. Ann Crosby joining us from Chicago Sky. Tip off the season, May 6th. The defending champs, Candace Parker and crew, will be playing LA to start things off May 6th. Thank you so much for joining us in the Junior NBA Coach's Corner podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to join Monica and Dallin each week on the Junior NBA Coach's Corner. For more, go to juniornba.com or wherever your favorite podcasts are found.